Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 87. Today on the show, we're talking Prey. We're talking The Surge. We're talking all these different games, and if we sound any different, that's because we are where?
We're in a new area. We've unlocked a new zone.
We are a high enough level that we have temporarily moved to see how things sound. So if it's bad, sorry. If it's good, you're welcome.
If it's bad, we don't care.
I'm your host, Matt.
With me, as always,
is Tyler.
And me, Kevin.
Holy shit.
How weird is that?
It's Super Gamecast 64. It's your comedy show.
Your favorite podcast.
We're a comedy show. We're also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath.
Sorry we've been gone.
Yeah, it's been a
close. I'm not sorry. I don't need to apologize.
Yeah, we'll have this one out. E3's coming up soon, guys. I thought that this might be a decent episode to do some small E3 predictions. How about let's make the next episode our actual predictions, and then we can do some smaller ones now. Right out of the gate, let's just do this. Each developer, or each person having a keynote.
Wait. DJ.
You know what, Tyler? If it wasn't for you, that guy would just be standing back there.
You know what's funny? I had a bit for that, too, I forgot.
It's okay. I rolled right over him. You know, I think it's that we changed the area. We're in a new place. New place, new times.
Well, the DJ followed us is the important thing to note.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't going to make it.
I didn't realize he knew where I lived.
He beat you here, man.
He did beat you here.
Well, it was quick.
He was under the deck, so he may have beat all of us here.
That we are. We are in Kevin's new abode, trying out some recording stuff over here. Kevin, how are you enjoying this abode, dude?
It's pretty bodacious.
Yeah?
It's a bodacious, you know.
There was a little housewarming party over the weekend.
Yeah, it was good.
And I saw some places. You got a nice bedroom that looks like you're fucking living in the attic of your parents' house.
It's pretty awesome, man.
It's
every kid's
nice.
Dream, you know, like when you, it's a bungalow style. So the attic is like that secret place at the top of a narrow stairway. You know, it's like, it's real up there. It's like nice and secluded and hidden. It's where everybody wanted to be as a kid, you know? It's like the secret hideaway.
No, you're up there and it's too damn hot.
It is really hot up there.
Yeah, you really should have thought that. Do you have central air?
Yeah.
Well then, hey, you know what? Sorry, I'm moving over here. I'm a little bit further, just doing some tech stuff. Guys, let's get this shit underway. Let's start with some news, all right? You know what? No, let's do the E3 thing. I like that.
Okay, E3 predictions?
So we have a bunch of different people doing keynotes, mm-hmm. and then we can roll that into news. Ubisoft, EA, Microsoft. I want you guys to make one crazy prediction. The big announcement at the end, you know? But there's more. What do you think that's going to be for Sony?
Nintendo will announce...
That's not... I didn't say Nintendo, I said Sony.
I don't care what you say. Alright, Sony. Sony is going to announce...
Yes.
...that there will be a game in which you can play the individual letters from the name Sony.
Oh.
As they attempt to save their sinking product line.
So it's like the Emoji Movie, but with like S's. Like, it's yes. like a Pixar. If all the Pixar letters...
I'm just kidding. Sony's not sinking.
No, I mean, Sony's doing pretty well. I'm going to make the prediction that they finally announce the collection that everybody's been waiting for. PS2 Classics, Dinosaur Warriors 2, 3, 4, and 5, remastered in only 720p. It's not going to happen. But it would be pretty sweet if they made a collection of all the Dynasty Warriors games from like 1 to 8. I think that would be pretty dope.
That's like the same game over and over.
I know, and it's also a Koei Tecmo, so it wouldn't be at the Sony press conference. Yeah. But it was very mainly popular on PS2.
It also comes with a copy of Hyrule Warriors.
For the 3DS.
And Dragon Warrior Heroes.
Yes. There you go. Yes. Tyler, do you have a oft prediction? Maybe a Naughty Dog.
Like, am I supposed to just tell you that Crash Bandicoot's coming out right now, or no?
Crash Bandicoot...
Not the collection,
but just
the new one.
Oh, that's what they're going to close with?
That's what they're going to close with.
Yeah, you know what? It would be really... now that you say that, no, that's a really good pick. Because they're pushing up this Insane trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good time for either that or like a Jack and Daxter 4. Ratchet and Clank wouldn't be hot enough.
I think there was a Jack and Daxter 4.
I know they were talking about it when they did the collection thing on PS3.
I gotta look.
But we'll see. Okay, moving on. Ubisoft. What do you think they're going to close with?
Ubisoft will close with the Templar's Creed trilogy, they'll announce that you are going to play the opposite of the Assassin's Creed games, where you just kill assassins.
That would actually be pretty awesome. But not as awesome as their true closer, which will be Just Dance 3030, where you don't play the game plays you. You actually take your Kinect, your Xbox 360 Kinect, but this is coming out for PlayStation 4. You shove it up your ass, and then the Kinect moves inside of you.
Well, then you attach the exoskeleton that swings your flabby arms around the room, mm-hmm. and moves your fat calves, you know, the fat guy calves.
Yeah.
All fat guys like me have those, like, real muscular, because we got to cart around this just big brick meat all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, except, yeah, so it dances you.
Yeah, it dances you. Yeah. But the funny thing is actually Xbox Fitness, you know, they stopped that. Xbox Fitness is working with Ubisoft to put on the Sony exclusive.
To try to be Fitness Xbox up your butt, right?
Exactly. Did I also mention you have to bash your head against a Wii Fitness board? What do you think? Tyler, what's Ubisoft going to really pull out?
So why do I have to, like, give you the real answers?
Because the real answer is just Assassin's Creed on a boat again, is what it really is.
I mean, Assassin's Creed Black Sails number 2, no, or
here's
whatever.
Assassin's Creed, Holland, North America. It's modern days, and you're on a cruise ship.
Here's a better thing. We will be for sure watching the E3 conferences, at least I will. Ubisoft is known for making just garbage jokes that are unfunny and super cringeworthy year without fail.
Isn't that the whole conference, though?
Yeah, usually it's the whole conference. Make a point. How many cringe moments do you think we will get from this year's Ubisoft? Now, last year... Six?
Yes.
Good. That was a very, very decided. No, you really pulled that.
I think he knows what I'm going for. Like, the big, just like, oh, that's really awkward. We're talking about, like, whole gameplay presentation. Yeah, I'm going to say probably a little bit higher. I'm going to go 8.
How many were there last year, would you say, roughly?
I don't know. That one with the guy in the crowd who was, what was he cosplaying for, or they interviewed him? That was, like, worth 3, I think. I don't know. Ubisoft kind of all went back in a blur from last year because they were like, Watch Dogs 2, and you're like, oh. And that turned out to be really good. I don't know, but it's definitely the most cringy next to Konami, but they're not popping up.
I think they're going to team up with...
I would hope not.
...Nintendo to make Watch Nintendogs.
Finally, a truly good game.
A game in which you hack real-life puppies.
EA, they don't make any announcements.
Oh, wait. My prediction for Ubisoft is Multiplication, the sequel to The Division.
You play as Tom Clancy's fucking half brother.
Rolling corpse. And you have to roll Tom Clancy's you have to roll Tom Clancy's corpse through the streets of New York collecting garbage and hobos.
He's like Katamari the sequel, but it's just Tom Clancy's corpse as you roll over all these fucking shitty properties they've slapped his name on. And God.
But you also play as Tony Hawk.
Rainbow Six Siegers. EA's gonna announce FIFA 17
the final
remastered.
The final level. Final level, you have to do a 900 over his bloated corpse,
which is impossible because it's the size of the planet. Yes, now.
You'll never find the secret gap. Though.
You eventually get him so big that he just like rolls once, and the planet just catches on him, and he's now the planet.
And then you're in the cosmos. EA. Honestly, there's not much to make fun of them because all they do is talk about sports, and then every now and again they're like,
"I think game."
Yeah,
I think they're just gonna hire some really brawn dude to come up on stage, smash a beer on his head, and then shotgun it and just yell, "Madden and baseball."
Yeah, Madden baseball! And then some guy will come out and talk about FIFA for about 35, 40 minutes.
It's like, you guys know soccer, right?
And then
we'll love soccer.
Love
Sorry.
Soccer.
Football.
Sorry, football.
The beautiful game.
The beautiful game. That's
Tech?
FIFA. FIFA's pretty good. Here's a big one. Bethesda.
Ooh.
I think Wolfenstein 5.
I think Team Wolf 2.
Team Wolf 2.
I think Stumble In 1.
Tumblestone.
Tumble Up.
Volume 2. Tumble up.
Bethesda will be very interesting.
Fallout prequel.
I'm waiting to make some actually Fall decent some decent predictions.
Fallout sequel. Get in. Get in Fallout.
Get in Fallout. Boston's great again. Let's go Celtics. No, Cavs all the way. It's that time of the year, guys. The NBA Finals.
What else does Bethesda do?
Well, they're kind of a publisher, but I mean, besides Skyrim and Fallout, they had Doom, they did, not Dishonored, that was somebody else.
I think they produced that.
That was Bethesda. I don't know, dude. They do a lot of stuff. It's ESO is technically their property, even though it's ZeniMax, so who knows?
They publish Prey, but, right?
Yeah, I believe so. That, all we know is there's two new IPs being announced. That's actually going to be a thing.
That would be neat.
Wrapping up.
That's very interesting.
Might Microsoft. What do you think? Or did we already talk about Microsoft?
No, we didn't.
Okay,
we
Microsoft, didn't. What do you think they're going to close with?
I think my uncle will...
Yeah, you have the inside
be
scoop.
...be presenting.
Okay.
He's going to present Windows 10 and a half.
Nice. Windows 10 Vista.
It means... It basically is Windows 10, but it works half as good.
It's like...
It just doesn't have the sidebar.
Yeah, /2, yes.
And Cortana just cusses you out. Like, Windows it's just 5. An endless stream of...
It's actually not Cortana. It's John, but he refuses to talk to you.
Ooh, Quake.
He's brooding. My Quake
uncle
champions.
John Michaelsoft, yeah.
Uncle John Michaelsoft, yeah. You ass. Bethesda that did do Quake as well. All right, and finally wrapping up with Nintendo, let's hop this in. We'll do a combo, right? We're going into news here, but still this intro bit. Nintendo, not doing a press conference this year. Reggie Fils-Aimé told Fox, I believe it was, like, we have big plans for E3. And you're like, oh, so maybe it's not just going to be a Treehouse event where you play 17 hours of Zelda again? And they're like, hey, guys, we're going to be doing a Nintendo Direct and then doing Treehouse where you show off fucking Super Mario Odyssey for 14 hours again, or Splatoon or ARMS, which I...
Those are coming out.
I know, exactly. So, let's... Here's the problem with Nintendo, is that you can't make any joke predictions, because half the time, you could be like, huh, they're going to make a Metroid game as a pinball. They did that.
So here's my...
Did they really?
Yeah.
Here's my joke.
Is it like Sonic Pinball?
That was Sega, though.
No, is it like Sonic Pinball?
Yeah.
I love that. I want that.
Here's my joke, but not so joke... like prediction.
Yeah.
They're going to make not a follow-up, but like a spiritual successor to Snipperclips, in which you are a seamstress and you sew shit together.
Friend. We can work on this. Come on, let's get it going. I like the vibe. All right, we got Snipperclips, clip it together.
So you're like you're missing the joke. It's right there.
Wait, I got it. It'll be called Taylor, or so it seems.
That's really good. That was good. No.
What was yours, Tyler?
No,
you were like, you're missing it, and it's right there. I'm sure it's really good.
No. It was there. He got it.
Tyler succeeds. It's okay. So, guys, no keynote for Nintendo E3. They will have a, their Direct in the Treehouse streaming stuff. I intentionally didn't watch it last year because they just showed, like, half of Legend of Zelda. I mean, they didn't show half of it, but they showed quite a bit of Breath of the Wild.
1% of Breath of the Wild.
It was 1% I didn't need to see, and I'm happy about it. Guys, moving on. Y'all know Square Enix?
Square. Yeah, I play Dragon.
I played a fantasy or two.
I've had some finality about my fantasies, maybe a heart in my kingdom, and... They've also been publishers over the past few years, you know, publishing some great games. Most recently, their biggest hit, I would say, that isn't, like, you know, Japan game, is that new Hitman.
Hitman
by IO Interactive. Hitman. Sandbox World, you are Assassin Man, Agent 47 himself.
Barcode on your neck.
You hit
Super
men.
Super bald.
You hit Dude, men.
I just realized, why have you never done that for a Halloween costume? It'd be so easy.
I mean, I already own all the
just
parts.
Just dress up as a butler. And
it's like a last minute
somebody
thing.
Somebody will just take a...
Smack a QR code on the back
of
the fucking
head. Yeah.
Super simple. Yeah, I get it. Like, it's... Oh, I forgot to get my costume. Look, I'm Hitman.
What you should do is you should put...
Stop being so prepared.
You should put a QR code on the back of your head, and then if someone scans it, it takes them... it downloads Tor, takes them to, like, one of those deep web things where they can actually hire you to kill them.
Oh, sweet.
Or
they scan my neck, and then I kill them.
Or it auto-directs...
Is what you're telling me.
Or it auto-directs to a page where... It goes to your Bitcoin account, which then pays an assassin to come there and kill them.
Or it can just forward to the White House page and they'll kill themselves because they're so depressed over it.
But then I'll run out of Bitcoins.
Nah.
We all know about your Bitcoin. You have...
You're like a dragon. You're like a virtual dragon.
You're like Scrooge McDuck. But you that fucking... Was... You dive into a virtual world.
I
put on a
was...
fucking vibe headset and jump in your Bitcoin
I feel like
pile.
This is supposed to be an insult.
No,
but I feel so
no,
much better
not,
about myself.
It's not an insult.
It's not an
See,
insult.
But the thing about the Scrooge McDuck poll, though, like, if you did have a Bitcoin fortune, you certainly would not need pants to enjoy it.
Oh,
just
no.
Like, just like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah,
Scrooge McDuck. Everybody knows he and his nephews, they jump in there with no trousers.
Yeah, and have a little fun.
Because they like the feeling of the gold coins on their cloacas.
Well... Moving on to cloacas and other furry animals who are often not clothed properly.
Yeah.
Sega is remastering Sonic the Hedgehog 1 for Xbox. No, they're not. The rumor, Tyler knows a little bit more about this.
The rumor in the mill.
The rumor mill has milled, and here's what we got from
flour.
Sega.
We have flour.
Yay! Okay,
which is good, because it's been dry for the past couple of years. You know,
we're
gluten fucks me up.
We're hearing about Sega wanting to bring back some games, probably because they just released this submissions board where it's like, hey, tell us what you want from Sega. And everyone submitted, we want Jet Set.
Jet Set Radio.
Radio Future. What give us that.
Think, what did they think would happen there?
Well, what are you going to ask from Sega? What are you going to ask from Sega? A new IP?
Can we have another Sonic game? No.
Sonic.
No, they want that extra sugar, extra salt.
Extra oil.
MSG.
It says 30th birthday.
Y'all might not
no,
get
it's
the,
your
I hope,
son's 30th birthday.
I hope
that's what I said.
I hope you'll get that joke. If you don't, just Google
go play,
it.
Go play Jet Set
Google
Radio
some future. Jet Set, yo. You get some culture in your life.
We'll have plenty more news.
Nine a winner.
Plenty more week, news, not nudes.
Got some hot
next send nudes. Next week will be... This is a good episode
hey,
already.
So, no, like, the news thing. I don't mean to like, jump ahead here, but did anyone else hear about the whole, like, you can make your own Sonic?
I was actually just going to bring that up.
Okay,
yeah, they
cool,
announced
cool.
Sonic, what is it, Sonic Forces
so,
or whatever?
So, all those...
What, the phone game?
I'm not...
No, the new one. Switch one.
I'm not trying to, like, yuck anyone's yum, but that probably will go places that not a whole lot of people want to go. You know
in
what
the,
I'm saying?
In the new Sonic Forces games, Tumblr.
There's... You should see.
There's create a character.
Oh, God.
But what I'm waiting for them to do is announce the fact that you can import your create a character directly into a shitty drawing on DeviantArt.
Dude.
And then you can, and then you just put it in, you go, hey, Cortana, write me a fanfic based on Bonic the Hedgehog that I made here. And
it's
then,
like, Shadow approached Bonic and kissed him lightly.
Oh, no. I'm already having Vietnam flashbacks.
Anyway, no, I really hope people go, like, real hog wild with this one. Kind of like they did with the Miis, where they would upload him to the Miiverse, and you would get, like, his name would be, like, Glorbleborp, and his, you know, his,
like
eyes, his eyes are out here, and his nose is his mouth, like, two mouths right here, you
yeah.
know, like, dude, I hope so much that they just make the worst, just the worst, like, just awful H.R. Geiger Sonics, you know?
Ooh, H.R. Geiger. Well, I'll talk about him
Cronenberg's
later.
Cronenberg's
Sonics. A little bit later. Well, way later, I'll briefly mention him.
There are 7 base animal types that players can select from with various special abilities.
What are those little things called that used to live in your little...
Enchinitas.
Chows.
Chows.
Dude, chow
I wonder
chows.
If you can make a chow.
Well, we'll see.
No.
Okay.
Well,
wolf, rabbit,
I'm not
cat,
buying
dog,
it.
Bear, bird, hedgehog. Great, I could
oh,
be a bear.
No.
Oh, it's not just hedgehog. Oh, God, it's all over. Okay, so, yeah, if this intro news segment wasn't enough to remind you, it's kind of comedy-heavy. This is what happens when we've been away for a while. I miss my friends. We don't make all the jokes. We save them, and then we just, you know, unload them at the top. Now it's time to get serious. It's never time to get
serious.
It's
not going to be funny for the rest of the episode.
No, it will be.
It might be.
Okay. There is a game that came out, and you have a wrench in it, okay?
Ratchet and Clank.
No, close, though. You, not even close. You have a wrench.
Locke's right? Quest.
No, follow me. I want you to guess the game, all right?
Dark Cloud 2.
Close. You have a wrench, and you explore a utopian complex where scientists have run wild, but their creations have come back to haunt them.
I would like to answer the question.
Uh-huh.
Is it, Biodome?
Bioshock? Let me check. No. Survey says 0.
Oh.
Could try again?
Is it The Hunted?
Was that the 360 you're talking about? That game was fucking dope.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Is it Half-Life 3?
Close. It's actually Prey, the game where you play as Morgan Yu, a man.
Morgan Yu. Like you? Why are you?
Why you?
No, no, why you?
Oh, so it's Japan anime.
So
I'll play this game.
Not really.
Oh.
No. It's a game. It has a really cool intro that I'm not going to spoil because its intro is good. It's a real fun thing. Very, very ballsy intro. It's a game where you play as Morgan Yu. You can be a guy or a woman. It doesn't really have any sort of effect on the storyline, but it's nice to see that addition.
I never really considered the fact that it's kind of a gender-ambiguous name.
That's, yeah, like you pretty, have a brother.
Like Kevin. Wait.
Yeah, like
yeah,
Kevin.
Clearly.
Yeah. What's up down there? So you play as Morgan. And Morgan, you know, he thinks everything's all right. He thinks everything's good. He thinks everything's fine. He wakes up, his house is on fire.
And the lady, the nice lady that was fixing the panel outside in the hallway, was doing maintenance yesterday, is now,
she's Rip.
Oh, what's that? She looks like a squeezed tea bag.
No, she's ripping pepperoni.
No, she looks like a Capri Sun after a kid got to it.
I can
respect
never...
the pouch.
Respect the pouch, Tang boy. So really, Prey is a game that's about exploration. The story is like pretty okay, but it's a lot about exploration. You explore a place called Talos One. It's a big ass research station in the middle of space. Everything's all messed up. There's like these they're like black gooey monsters that walk around, and then you shoot them with your gun. But you have like a pistol and a wrench. If you're lucky, you get a shotgun, and then you have a glue gun, which is pretty much like the... What's that Metroid gun? You shoot things, and then it sticks to a platform. Not the ice beam. It's something like that. You can shoot it to a wall, and you can climb up on it. You can jump all over it. It's a pretty fun time. Kevin.
Yeah?
I beat the game. I gave it an 8 in my review. Although I did encounter a game-breaking bug in the second last mission of the game, where anytime I tried to load into the zone that I had to be in, because you know you're going through the space station, the game would just crash. Mm. IGN's Dan Stapleton ran into this problem as well on PC. He ended up giving the game a 4 out of 10 and then changed to an 8.
I want to throw it out there. Other people like from Polygon, I think Justin and Griffin McElroy both were tweeting about it at one point. So yeah, this is a pretty prevalent bug.
It's a widespread problem.
Pretty prevalent bug.
Yeah, in my review, I had a whole entire section about how to avoid it and where it's at and that they need to patch it, otherwise it's unplayable. You didn't beat it yet, but you're far enough into it where I feel like you will have the clearest opinion of it, the cleanest. What do you think about it exploration wise? It's not very combat heavy. I don't like the combat too much. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, the combat's okay. I think it's a little bit unwieldy, almost like there's a little too, like, there are almost too many things you can do in a combat situation.
It's kind of like Deus Ex, where you have like a bunch of different things you can unlock and then a bunch of ways to approach enemies.
Right, and there's a bunch of different ways to conduct combat. But I like games where your combat is one package.
Yeah.
Not, oh, well, you can freeze a guy and then shoot him with a shotgun, or you can do this. I like, okay, I feel like I have mastered all of these abilities, and I use them in tandem to become, you know, efficient.
Yeah, see,
not, oh, you can upgrade that one a lot more than the other ones if you wanted to do stuff like that.
My biggest thing was that after a while, my entire approach to combat was to slow down time with combat focus, throw out two area of effect blasts. One's is electric, takes out enemies, and one's it's like fire and takes out bio things. And then as soon as that was over, I would just start shooting them with a bunch of bullets, and that took care of everything in the entire game. Not an issue. There is no like real stealth options. I mean, you can be stealthy, but unlike Deus Ex, I feel like
there wasn't a whole lot of payoff for being stealthy, I think.
It's like Deus Ex in the way that you can lift really tall things or really heavy things if you upgrade your thing. You can hack into computers if you upgrade your thing. You read a lot of emails. You can bypass doors and hack through keycard stuff if you upgrade your thing. Jump around. So, like, a lot of movement and exploration. The way that Deus Ex is open, it's exploration. But the narrative and the overall tone feels very Bioshock 1. I got some flack. People, like, in my review, I called it Space Bioshock in Space. And some guy on N4G was like, the word you're looking for is System Shock. And yes, it is very System Shock 2. But it feels like Bioshock.
It does. I think combat in Bioshock was a little tighter.
Yeah.
But that's because you just had guns and plasmids.
It was very much a first person.
And that was it, yeah. This is more almost like it's almost like pseudo open world
action RPG.
Action RPG, yeah. It's got more Skyrim characteristics.
First person action, maybe?
Yeah, I would say I think it's a marriage of Skyrim and Bioshock, to be completely honest with you. Like, generally speaking too, like, you know, I like the crafting system. I liked the aspect of the game that also, like in Skyrim, that if you read, if you take the time to devote to exploring the game, it pays off in humorous ways more often than not, but also story mode in some cases. Like, I really like this one feature where you could be reading through someone's email and it'll say, oh,
lock
here's
her
the
up.
Safe code or something like that. But her emails. here's the safe code. And from that point on, you have access to that safe when you come across it.
Yeah.
It's a really small detail, but I thought it was really great. When you approach that safe, it doesn't just automatically unlock for you.
It tells you.
It shows the code next to the keypad, and you still have to enter it, which I'm sure some people out there are probably like, oh my god, why do I have to enter this code? I don't know, I just feel like it gives the player a little more autonomy that I liked.
There's a bit of immersion.
Yeah.
I think my biggest issue with the game, besides the combat being a bit stale after a point, is that there's only so much difference visually between a cargo bay and a construction line, and that's something that I'll have to talk about with the next game we're talking about, but there's only maybe one or two areas in this game. Like I told you, the crew quarters is really cool. It's a, you know, where everybody stays who is supposed to live on the ship, and it kind of looks like this big hotel, and then there's like a cool side quest with a D&D campaign in there. It's like all the cool stuff in the game, and the cool little, you know, weird storyline quests and stuff that seems to be in that area.
Well, and I like that, you know, I think the combat was ambitious, but it did fall a little flat for me. I could see why people would like it, but I do like that they tried different things, like the glue gun, I think is a really interesting mechanic. You can basically shoot it at your enemies, and, well, it has a dual purpose. Either you can shoot it at a wall or an object and climb on the expanding foam that results from you shooting it, or you can shoot it at an enemy, or it freezes them in place, at which point you can then melee them to death.
Speaking of the glue gun, the speed run for this game, I don't know, Tyler, have you seen?
No.
Kevin, have you seen? Okay, the current world record for Prey, the game that took me 20 hours to beat, is currently 8 minutes, because the glue gun, if you shoot it, since you can clamber up onto the glue gun, but you can kind of attach it anywhere, you can use it to completely bypass walls and break out of bounds. So watching the speedrun of that is crazy, because it's just 7 minutes of people using the glue gun and then, like, grabbing items and all this crazy stuff. It's really, really, it shows you just how... Once you find out how to get out of bounds, if everything in the map is loaded, you can bust open a game super hard, especially one that uses a mechanic like that.
I feel like we could talk about something else that's kind of like that.
What is it?
Well, we could go right into Human Fall Flat.
Yeah, you know,
that's a good, that is a good transition.
Human Fall Flat.
Let's bounce into that.
Before we do that, I'm going to say Prey is good for people who want to explore. People like to get immersed in games and like to really feel their environment. But if you're going for, like, high-octane, first-person shooting action, high-reflex, you ain't going to like it as much.
It's got good jumpy scares, so there's a little bit of horror aspect to it.
Like,
but it's not... It gets old, not old, but you get used to it.
It's not super horrifying, except for the
concept of the enemy. They're called Typhoid. They can mimic any item. So essentially, you could be walking around, and any coffee cup could be a Typhoid.
Well, here's the thing, though,
and if you walk too close to it,
only the small enemies mimic.
Correct.
Which is my biggest problem, because you have these enemies that can transform into anything, but only the teeny tiny little crab ones will transform. And after a little bit, you can just hit those twice with your wrench. You're like, ah. I mean, it's cool. You walk up to a coffee cup, all of a sudden it's an enemy. But I thought it'd be really cool if you walk in and some, like, the human-esque enemies are just like some giant chair or something, and they just kind of unform and come through, and that'd be pretty cool. But
I did like how they explained the science behind it too, and then this is the last thing I'll say about it. So the concept is like the way they mimic something is they take it and bring it to a different dimension and then go back into the original dimension as that object.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was some of the reading. Like, if you go through and do some of the reading, I know you play games to beat them because you have to review them, like, but that's like the quantum mechanics of it were kind of very well fleshed out. I like
it. I will tell you, I like the emails. I found them in all games where you have to read emails. I found this one the least annoying to do. But yeah, Human Fall Flat. Take it away.
So, 8 out of 10 on Prey, by the way.
Oh, so he's like a little gooey man, right?
Yeah, he's a little gooey
man. He's got a hat on, and he could, like,
he's a good glue boy.
Climb some stuff, pick some stuff up.
This is from, who's the developer of Human Fall Flat? I know it's Curve Digital. Once again, shout out to Curve Digital. They're always on top of it, letting us check out their games.
Oh, yeah.
Curve Digital, Manuel Samuel won our Indie Game of the Year last year, so they've been pushing out some good stuff.
I gotta say, this is, in terms of fun, in terms of sheer silly fun,
yes,
this is absolutely in the same vein.
It's like an Octodad, not a Quap or anything like that, but games that are intentionally a little bit difficult to control. But unlike Octodad, where your objective is super, super obvious, each level kind of is its own little puzzle. Me and Tyler are going to be playing Flitzy this entire time because of this new setup.
I'm really trying to get comfy, and it's not working.
It's okay. We'll work it out as we go. But anyways,
No breaks.
You have a different level. It might be like, oh, in this level you're going to have to carry crates around, and this level you're going to be doing a lot of climbing. It's very basic. You hold down left and right trigger to grab onto things, and that's about it. You can, like, kind of hop a teeny bit with A. But it's really about pulling, pushing, moving things, and then using your environment to walk around. I like it because you can kind of cheese some stuff with the movement mechanics. But then again, at the same time, the mechanics of movement can cheese you,
too. Well, that and you can beat the game real quick if you cheese it.
Yeah.
But there is so much good reward from playing it the right way. So, you know, By the way, this is No Breaks Games. That's why I said No Breaks earlier.
No Breaks?
No Breaks.
You mean you just play it right through?
No, no, it's...
That's what the game...
The game developed.
Oh, it's No Breaks. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
I also did beat it in one playthrough.
Okay, so that is one game that Kevin has beaten it now.
It is my first game that I beat of the year.
And I believe that your quote was two?
Three, actually.
Okay.
And one of those three I'm probably not going to end up beating. Because I did predict.
That poor game.
Well, hey, you know what? Ukulele isn't for everybody. Here's what I have to say. I think that Human Fall Flat is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think since you went through in one big old swoop, I found that I'm enjoying it more as a game when I want to relax, when I just want to have some stupid fun, throw on a level, and instead of trying to really beat it, just kind of joke around within the level for maybe 20 minutes, you finish up level, and then you're good. Because the game itself, there's only, what, 7, 8 levels to choose from?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go right through it, you're going to be done with it, and then that's it, because there's not too much stuff to do after it.
I think my favorite level, I believe it was called Water, or maybe Boat.
I think that's what I'm on right now.
And it consisted of a lot of... okay, so like the concept of the game is like it's very hard to do fine motor skill-based things. Because your arms just kind of flop all over the place, and the only time that they attach to anything is when you use your right and left trigger to do so. And so you walk around and your arms are just noodles at your side.
Yeah.
So doing anything like high precision is incredibly difficult. And
it's like Surgeon Simulator with two little hands.
The very first thing you encounter in this level is a rowboat. So you're sitting there and you're like, how in the hell am I going
to
do this?
Okay, see, because my thing so far is that I've just had to like pull a crate, you know, maybe climb over a wall.
Dude.
I haven't gotten to like the high annoyance thing.
This is spoiler territory, but I feel like it's necessary only to tell you just what you're in for.
Yeah.
And just to encourage you to do it, because this is probably the best level. You go from boat to boat, and they're different style boats. You have rowboat, and then you have a raft that has a like a boom and a till.
Okay.
Is that what they're called? A tiller?
I don't know what... rudder?
Rudder, thank you.
Okay, Kevin just kind of made a little jerk-off motion.
Yeah, yeah, you know, a rudder.
Yeah, a little rudder.
A little rudder and a boom.
I think that's
and,
right.
And then you get into a speedboat, but you can only control a speedboat by, like, going forward and then turning the wheel. And then you get onto a literal tanker and you have to like steer it into port, and then you get into port and you control one of those like big crane things
that picks up
the shipping container. And so I'm sitting there and like you would think, okay, I'm gonna lower the crane on the shipping container and those hooks will probably just automatically click on,
yeah,
right?
No,
you
know,
it's like how am I gonna get the precision to hook the No, they don't. They don't at all. And so you have to like hook each individual hook onto
the
container.
Fighting the game,
and
really.
It is fighting the game, but it is just so funny.
Cool. And I love those kind of games like Octodad, stuff like that. I'm super into them.
It's
Tyler,
so funny. I've never been
a fan of those.
It's frustratingly fun as hell.
I
watched him finish it.
Yeah.
And oh boy.
Yeah. Looks fun.
Oh boy, was it hilarious. He's like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do here. I think I'm supposed to take this block over there and climb up there and jump over that wall. I'm like,
he goes,
what if you go up there?
Why don't you just climb that wall? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I could try it. And
I could reach that one.
I do. And then I walk across the whole level and just beat the game in one go. Like,
well, I think that's the fun about games like this that are physics-based. They really are your own playground.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of luck and maybe some smart movement can get you all sorts of crazy places.
I really, really enjoyed this game.
I
would give it a 9.
Yeah, all right. I have not finished it yet, but I'm saying for the bang for the buck, because it's not super expensive, I think it's like 15 or 20 bucks. Like, it's pretty damn good. I recommend it just based off the 3 levels I played. So I've played 3 levels, but I recommend it. Kevin says like around 9. Tyler, you had a pretty decent impression.
I mean, it looks fine.
So, it's a good puzzle game.
It's like I wanted to narrate that goofy little dude.
If you're looking for
whose name is Bob, by the way.
Bob
Slam.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a fun, relaxing, but you know, aloof kind of physics-based game, definitely check out Human Fall Flat.
Definitely. Released
May 10th on Xbox One, PS4, and I believe PC as well. That is from Curb Digital and developed by No Breaks. Thanks for letting us check it out.
Yeah, dude. That's,
and if you're listening...
That's a great game.
Great job. Let's hop into... Let's do this real quick, because I played the most of this. You guys saw a little bit of it. It is Sci-fi Souls, Mech Souls, IGN called it. It is The Surge, made by Lords of the Fallen developer. You know that game that was on Xbox Live Gold, Games of Gold?
Yeah, that was also like a Souls game.
Yeah, that was okay, and then you got bored of it after like 7 hours, and you're like, fuck this, I'm over. Maybe that was just me.
I think seven is kind of high.
Okay.
I think like two.
You play it for a little bit, and then you're like, this ain't no Dark Souls. Okay.
Right, get back to Dark Souls.
Instead of making Lords of the Fallen 2, which was fantasy-esque, kind of like Dark Souls, they've gone completely different genre. It's not horror. I mean, it's light horror elements in the way the enemy design is.
Yes.
But it is very much industrial, sci-fi. You're in this... the thing is, they don't tell you a whole lot about the narrative, but you have this big background company called Creo. They're like the Google of this world, and they're like, we're going to return the Earth to its...
To its green glory. Capacity.
And then you get your upgrades, and then you just kind of wake up, and everything's gone to shit, and then you explore. But it is, in the truest sense, sci-fi Souls. Kevin, since you guys, you and Tyler just saw it, what are the first things that pop out? Like, when you look at The Surge versus Dark Souls, Tyler made a face, I gotta say. When you look at Surge, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, whatever, what's the thing about The Surge that stands out or makes it different?
Tyler, take the reins on this.
Yeah, okay. So, like, first of all, you're a dude in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
so
the beginning.
That's nice. And Kevin approaches the stairs, like, my old nemesis.
The stairs. The
I have stairs. To admit, though, very creative way to get you to go the right way.
Right.
My biggest issue with the game is that that is a really cool thing that happens at the beginning, and then they never talk about it ever again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with the beginning is that you try to talk to people to get some direction, right? Mm-hmm. No directions.
They're all like, hey, you better not be late for work. But okay. We're not going to tell you where to go.
There's, like, normally in a Souls game, you're guided. You can go, you have a narrow path.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, look at all that big scary stuff over there. Let me kill the stuff in front of me. I can't get over there. There's a nice gate here between me and the bad. This just kind of puts you in a deserted...
It's like a warehouse kind of district kind of thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And... Like, there are robotic dudes. I don't think there's any humans.
Not exactly.
Well, this is the thing about...
No, while you're still wheelchair.
Yeah, there were a couple.
I didn't think there were... It doesn't matter.
Well, when it comes down to enemy design, most of them are humanoids. And that's a big thing I have about The Surge, is that when you have a game like Dark Souls or Demon Souls or Bloodborne, crazy cool designs and characters. You're fighting a variety of characters. This is very much just like humanoid people who have robot stuff on them or humans themselves. At some point.
Right.
But yeah, that's what... But yeah, you're just dropped into a warehouse thing.
Yeah.
Like, kill the robots.
So, oh, okay, I guess I'll kill the robots.
Yeah.
And like, if you're looking close enough, that dude's dead.
Yeah.
That dude's dead in that robot suit.
He's RIP. He is RIP. And that's the thing, is that the whole game is about, like, okay, what went wrong? They didn't give you a lot of stuff at the beginning to even base off of Creo. You don't know really what their main things were. It's kind of your standard narrative of, like, oh, things went wrong. It's interesting enough to propel you through the different areas. It's interesting that you said you feel like the game didn't have direction. I mean, in the beginning, I did get lost a little bit.
That was my problem.
I feel like The Surge, in the terms of the level design, is more guided... than Dark Souls, because you didn't see this as you progress. There's little computers. They have green screens on them. They have a number, and you use your power level.
We did get that far, yes.
Okay, and then you can always kind of sense where you're supposed to be going, because if you're just running and you see, oh, here's a green box. I know I'm supposed to be going that way. But the issue that arises, or I shouldn't have to do that, and my main issue with the game is reflective of that, it's because same thing with Prey. There's only so much difference between a warehouse district, a cargo line, R&D facility. Like, the game starts to blend together for me, and I liked it because you'll hop from area to area, and it's very distinct which area you're entering, because there's a train that you go to different areas. At about 17, 20 hours, depending on how difficult you find the game, you start doing a lot of backtracking, and then that kind of, like, where do I go, what do I do, becomes super annoying because there's much stronger enemies. And...
You know, I had that problem in Salt and Sanctuary roughly about the same amount of time.
Yeah. Well, that's what I didn't like, is the fact that they're like, all right, you did this whole area, you found all the shortcuts back to your bonfire area, you do everything, you've killed all the guys, you've beat the final boss, because each area ends with a boss.
Right, and it's usually like on the top of a tower or in the trees somewhere, but like, when you go forward, there's a box, there's like either a treasure box, or there's a wall there, and it's like, go back the way you came.
Yeah.
And you do, because now you have something
yeah.
that can unlock the next place.
And in this, it's like, okay, you beat the boss, now you can go to the train, the Surge, and then you go to the next area. And you do that maybe for your first 17 hours, and then at some point they go, all right, we have the thing, we need to go back to this area. But they tell you what area it is. They're like, you need to go back to, like, the executive area. And I've been through three massive areas that have a bunch of subsections, and they all look the same. I don't remember where it leads. At one point, you have to go to the next area, you have to revisit an area that was a shortcut that now has a boss just there. So I feel like oftentimes, or after you do that first three or four areas and you have to backtrack, it's going to be a lot of running around and waiting for something to happen.
Probably.
The thing I did really like about this game was the combat by way of the crafting system.
I like the combat, but I also like the limb locking a lot, because unlike Souls games, you lock onto an enemy and then you can lock onto different parts of their limbs. Some are armored, some are not. But it kind of plays like For Honor, but Souls. Because you can...
I thought it was kind of like Rise.
Yeah, that too.
I agree with that. But it's also like its own kind of thing.
Yeah,
sure.
You're building up enough energy to perform your finishing move, where you remove whatever limb you're targeted on. The head, the arm, the leg, whatever, what have you. And you have
chop that shit right off.
A pretty high chance of getting whatever you just chopped off.
Yep, and that continues throughout most of the game.
Yeah,
anytime
that's
you run into
fantastic.
Something new, it's like a 1 out of 3. And the thing is those parts can be crafted at this machine in one of your home bases, right? But the way you get the parts for that is just by cutting off limbs and cycling them. You don't have to go search for crazy amounts of parts. You just use the scrap you get from killing enemies, which is it's the souls you get in Dark Souls. You know,
right.
You gather them as you kill. If you die, you have to go back and get them. You just use that and the components you find by pickups or that you get from killing enemies. It's a nice, rewarding gameplay cycle.
It's a lot more forgiving than Souls. You can bank those tech parts.
Yes. The combat is a lot more forgiving for, like I said, the first 15 or 16 hours. And then they decide, oh shit, time to pad this out. Let's throw three really difficult enemies at you all at once. And regardless of how much armor you have, unless you're super, super cheesed out and you like completely spec'd out your character, things can still hit you and kill you in one or two hits. It's really annoying. I found myself needing to double my med packs just because sometimes I can't slam. Like, I slam the triangle button or the Y button so fast to heal that I might accidentally use two. Because it's hectic, it's strategic. I don't know where I lean on it. I have to finish it up. Like I said, my first 15 hours, I was super hot on it. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. I still sit way better on Lords of the... Or I think this is way better than Lords of the Fallen.
I agree.
Way, way, way better. Maybe it was the change of genre. Maybe it was just the change of the combat. Whatever. I don't think it's going to score much higher than a 7 for me when I finish it up.
Yeah, I mean, the again, I had a big problem with this one. Kind of like, I forget which game we were talking about recently. I was talking about the visual occlusion was like really difficult to grasp.
Yeah.
I'm having a bit of the same problem with this one, and I mean, I have pretty good eyesight, so like,
it's not you. Things can get muddy in that. There's a lot of lighting effects going on.
Yeah,
it's the
background is really busy, and
there is a lot going on.
That only gets worse in the second area, and then in the third area, when it finally gets like. They change stuff up a little bit. By that time, it's too far, too late. We are about 45 minutes in, guys, and you know what that means. It's for the best part of the show.
Time for the best part of the show.
Admiral.
Oh, let me turn on my Pokemon Game Boy here to play Pokemon Red.
Oh.
Episode was brought to you by Audible.com, the world's leading provider in audiobooks. If you go to audibletrial.com/SGC64, you can get your free audiobook. It's not a list of audiobooks you can choose from. Any audiobook on the Audible.com service can be free for you today. Just go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 and get your free audiobook. Guys,
Matt.
People love reading. That was almost a perfect pitch, and then I fucked it up.
Yep. Yep, you did. Tell me about that book that you... Oh, my... Dead Zone. Tell me about Dead Zone.
Okay, so, guys, Dead Zone by James Franco. It is now available on Audible.
As read by Stephan King.
No, it's actually not read by Stephen King. It's read by James Franco.
But you said it's by James Franco.
You did say it's by
James Franco. Okay, yeah, reverse that.
So who's it by?
By Stephen King, read by James Franco.
Frank Jameso?
Never been released on the audiobook. Very good. It's all about a guy gets in a car accident, wakes up from a coma, and when he touches people, he has psychic powers, can see the future, stuff like that.
Ooh.
Really, really good book. Nice. It's a classic, not very horror-filled. Stephen King is often known for being a horror.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that Stephen King got hit by a car at some point?
Yeah, probably. Often, also in this book, the main character likes to berate a girl he once knew for how much she uses cocaine. That's called projection, Stephen. just want to say that. But it is a fantastic book. I love James Franco. I love his delivery of it. My only issue with James, if you're listening, which you're not, when the characters yell in the book, he has a tendency to go like, "Don't do that to me!" Or like, so when Whisper yells?
Yeah.
And I guess I've been spoiled on the guy who read Stephen King's It, who does a really good job. And I finally finished that off. 44 hours. Took me about 3 months. And if that doesn't tell you guys, you can go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. You sign up. It's usually $16 a month. You get a free audiobook every month. These audiobooks can be $40, $50, $60, but you can get them for $16 if you want. If you just want to try it out and you don't want to pay any money, cancel the service. As long as you've downloaded your audiobook, you'll keep it. You'll have that audiobook forever. So give it a go. Let's give them some suggestions, guys. Episode 3 of Neil Gaiman's American Gods adaptation on FX is getting rave reviews.
It's right here.
Apparently it's following the book very, very much to a T, including all the sex scenes and all the violence. So if you want to catch up, or if maybe you're watching the show...
Find out for yourself how closely it's following that book.
Yeah, hey, check it out. You can get it for free.
Go to Audible and check it out.
You know that short clip that repeats over and over again? Of the guy who just gets riddled with arrows.
Yes.
Is that from American Gods?
I believe so.
I thought so. How many arrows do you think they put in that guy?
Probably like 200.
Probably a million.
That's a lot.
Probably like a billion, maybe.
If it's not from American Gods,
maybe like 60.
It's from something good. While you're there, Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology. We've mentioned that a million times. Anybody else?
I'm looking at it right now.
Throw out any new ones. Like I said, I'm finishing up.
Yeah, I can give you a few. How about Patrick Rothfuss, The Name of the Wind? George R. R. Martin's A Dance with Dragons.
Yeah, the entire
Stephen King,
on there.
The Stand.
Hooded Bob.
Yeah.
Also known as Robin Hood.
You know what? There's so many good Stephen King books, man. You can get The Wastelands, the whole entire Dark Tower
series. How about Jonathan Clark and Mr. Norrell by Susanna... Wait, I messed that up.
It's okay.
It's Jonathan...
How about The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck? The health self-help book is very, very good.
Tim Ferriss, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah.
We've mentioned that.
I'm going to plug the hell out of Joe Hill right now. You got The Fireman. You got Horns. You got Nosferatu. You got...
Such a good book, Nosferatu.
Heart-Shaped Box.
I also want to throw out there... I want to throw out there anything by... I lost his name.
It's okay. Next time. And if you're sitting down, you're like, I want to do some summer reading, but I don't want to read a 1,500-page book. I don't want to listen to a 1,500-page book, Matt. Well, guess what? They have all those old series you loved as a kid. Harry Potter, Series of Unfortunate Events.
Hop on Pop.
Cirque du Freak by Darren Shan.
Why would you use a token
Hop on Pop?
Hop on Pop?
Because I can't read it myself.
Guys.
The author I was looking for, Brent Weeks. Everything that dude touches is awesome.
Once again, guys,
everything the Weeks touches is light.
Brandon Sanderson. Another really great one.
Branderson!
I think you can guess what kind of books I like.
Look, guys, we've given you so many suggestions, and the crazy thing is that every single book we have read off, you can get for 100% free. Yes, it's just like a Netflix trial. You're going to have to sign up with your information and stuff, but you can cancel it as soon as you're done if you don't like it. Do it, guys. It helps out the show, and at the very least, it helps out you guys with more knowledge. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. Pick out your free audiobook today, and hey, drop us a line and let us know what you chose. And if you send us a picture on Twitter of you doing that Audible trial using our thing, we'll send you a free little gift. That's from me. Not a physical one. Don't worry.
We got stuff to send you, all right?
Yeah.
That's what we're getting at.
I actually do have a ukulele code.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to give that away to anybody who can give us proof that they've signed up for the Audible
trial. If you have signed up for audibletrial.com/SGC64 using our thing, you get a copy of Yooka-Laylee.
For PC.
For PC. And maybe I got some other stuff sitting around. Also, we want to thank Psychic Type for the ad break music. They always help us out. If you haven't listened to Psychic Type, go check them out.
And it's weird because they're live like every week in the room. They play live here.
It's awesome. We really love them.
Where?
Don't worry about it. They're invisible. They have their invisibility cloaks on. You can read that about that in Harry Potter chapter
7. And then they use
7.
Teleport and they leave.
Apparate. Thanks, Audible.
Like, that was a Harry Potter joke and a Pokemon joke, but, like, you're correcting his Pokemon joke?
We are.
Can we talk about Pokemon?
No, but you know where Pokemon hails from?
I do.
It's gonna be a cool echo effect, you ready? This,
weak, in, Japan! This like week... In Japan. Last week on This Week in Japan, Tyler was in Shibuya checking out people. He didn't work on his social links because he was too busy in the dungeons getting all the dungeon souls. This week, we'll find out if Tyler got more social.
Did he fall in love?
And even a surprise appearance from an old town. Tyler!
Okay.
This week in Tokyo.
This
Shibuya.
Week in Shibuya.
Yeah, what's up, man?
I went on a rampage.
Yeah.
Messed up some demons.
It's okay.
Made some demon friends.
Nice.
Fused some demons. And I'm still a little high level. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Feel powerful. Feel good.
Have you been focusing on any stats? Have you been choosing any ladies particularly?
There are not any ladies to pick, especially ones that wear headphones or whatever, because I don't know who she is yet.
So her name is like Futaba.
Futaba.
Yeah.
Fruit Bar.
Dude, yes.
Fruit Bar.
I saw this thing online, and it's P5, but every single person, just with the hairstyle of everybody else. And let me tell you, Anne, with the headphones on, nice.
That's clearly, it's the headphones.
It's really, guys, it's being geeky at all is a plus in 2017.
Nerd.
Yeah, so there's tons of things that you hadn't gotten to yet. The band stuff.
I haven't made it to the professional underwater basket weaving team. I haven't been able to talk to the reporter so I can tell her all about my midnight adventures.
You smash on your teacher?
I tried. I don't have enough guts.
Dude.
Oh,
I ain't brave enough.
Are you trying to smash?
Come over.
You trying to smash guts?
Let me fuck up your insides real quick. Let me fuck up your insides, honey.
That's really fucking... That's really vulgar, man.
So what has been... besides all the dungeons and Zin, have you been focusing on anything particularly? Just really...
I'm really hammering home the social links.
Yeah.
I know that those are the most important. After playing...
Who are your best friends?
Who are my best friends right now? Am I allowed to say names? Does that count?
Yeah, you can say names.
Like, right now, people are going to laugh at me because they're like, oh, you just pick Ryuji because he's the first guy. Well, yeah, I picked him because he's, like, the easiest to get a hold of.
Ryuji's awesome.
Let me just make a parallel here to real life.
I like him.
If I say the name Leiden...
Yeah.
We all know...
Yep.
You know, we all know Leiden.
Yeah.
Our listeners don't know Leiden.
Maybe, same thing maybe Leiden's listening.
Same thing applies. Leiden doesn't... No. Leiden doesn't listen.
Fuck you, Leiden.
Same thing applies. If you just say a name, they've never met him. So they don't know yet.
They'll meet
spoils.
Him when they meet him.
It's not spoils.
Yeah, no, it's not spoils. Okay. I mean, don't say the name of, like, the final villain. It's actually Cat in the Hat.
he came back.
He's returned to his
the
final...
The cat came back.
His final home.
It's the same villain from P4. The cat.
So,
he came back.
Ryuji... And
it's the cat that tells
friends.
You to go to bed.
I think I've been working on the blue bellhops.
Yeah.
This time around.
That's good.
Justine and Caroline.
The little lady girls.
Yeah, I think I'm like at 4 with them.
They're pretty cool. I like their character design.
They are. They're neat.
Let me just say, this franchise would lose a certain something if it wasn't voice acted.
Yes, oh man! See, this is something that I'm doing this time around. Is actually just I put it on auto. I put the controller down
and listen,
and I listen, and I let it play it out itself. Yeah. That's the best way to do it.
I should do that because I'm playing P4G again.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about Inaba.
Wait, ready?
Go ahead.
Damn. Okay, I actually dabbed. I just wanted you to hear it.
It wasn't this week in Tokyo. We didn't mess it up. It's this week in Japan, because Kevin's been in another place in Japan.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just thought it was a really good
time. That's okay. I don't really have much more to say. Just, like, I'm OP as shit right now, and I ain't about to lose to no bitch. I'm ready for that legal trial to come at me. It's almost June.
Step up to my block. I'll rip my face off and kill my ghost at you. That's how
Personas
work.
Kevin, tell me about... Yeah, it is how personas work in this game.
I'll
rip my face off and throw my ghost at you. Yep.
You have been visiting the same place that Tyler visited last year.
Yes. So I moved recently, obviously. We're in my house right now.
Yeah. Where are we?
We're in my house.
We're in Inaba.
Where is it located? Thank you.
Well, in the great town of Inaba. Anyway, no, for real though, we're in my house now. You know, I don't have any friends, so I had to make some high school friends in a game.
Well, yep. It happens.
I'm just kidding. I have friends. Hi, friends.
Hi, Kevin.
You're not my friend.
No, but for real, I decided to give it another go. I literally have never heard anybody say a bad word about P4G. Like, I've heard multiple people reliably say, like, people that I respect in this industry say that is their favorite game of all time.
It's a good game.
It's got one of the most iconic battle music... until P5 came out.
All I'm saying is...
Of the entire series.
All I'm saying is, if I didn't give this game a fair shake, I'd feel like I would be letting a lot of people down.
That is very immature, I'll tell you after the show.
I'm enjoying it. I really need a primer on how fusing personas works, but I'll get that from Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the best part about playing a giant JRPG that has a bunch of different kind of mechanics. It's like playing a Souls game after someone else you know has played it.
Yeah.
You just fucking throw the walking guidebook.
Right.
And best way to go.
You know, I got just now... So, in my first playthrough, I got to where I am now in 7 hours.
So this is your second time playing?
This is my second time trying.
Okay.
This playthrough, I got there in about 4 or 5.
Nice.
So I think I'm taking it at a much more serious tack at this point. So
good.
I feel like the pacing's a lot better now. Whereas before, it was really slow. And that's what everybody says, is that intro is just
How long ago did you try it?
Probably a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Maybe that year has changed you.
Maybe it has changed me. Something inside you has changed in the battle.
Fuck off. It's your heart.
You feel a surge.
He leveled up.
Feel a surge of power.
Your HP and SP went up.
Yeah. Nice, dude.
By
so,
four.
Anything else about P4 before we... or P4?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm currently hunting down Kiko. She's stuck in the TV world.
Nice.
And in her castle, and she's acting all funky.
Getting in that castle.
That's sexy. Mm-hmm. That is so sexy.
She's not acting like Yukiko-san, you know?
Yeah, it's what happens. So, that was...
San.
And after Saki-senpai and whatever the fuck, the other announcer ladies that...
Mumbles about anime.
Can't get foggy, you know?
Can't get foggy. Don't let it get foggy.
Or Teddy will eat me with his head.
Teddy will not eat you with his head.
If you don't play Persona, you're not going to get any of that, but it's okay, because this week in Tokyo is all about Persona. Let's jump off of that. I'll talk about this real quick. Guys, Little Nightmares. Do you like Play Dead games? Limbo and...
No.
And Inside?
No.
Kevin, do you like...
I like Big Nightmares.
They scare me.
Okay. Little Nightmares is the story about a small thing. She's maybe a girl, but she's literally like the size of a fetus. Like, the size of a rat. And it's like if you took a Play Dead game like Inside, but Tim Burton made it, and then maybe if you told me 75% of the team that made Inside had made this game, I would believe it, because it's good enough to be close, but it's not a masterpiece. Ain't no masterpiece. But if you like Tim Burton and like super creepy weird visuals, you don't like very grotesque stuff, so you didn't like Inside or Limbo or anything like that, give Little Nightmares a go. Short game, 4 hours, creepy. The story's okay. But that's all I really had to say on it, because anything else would kind of be spoiling it. You know, you have a little yellow jumpsuit.
That's kind of one of them things you gotta, like, experience.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say, if you like 2D side-scrollers, well, it's not a 2D side-scroller, you move in a 3D space, but it's from a 2D perspective, then yeah, Little Nightmares, give it a go. It's a fun time. Jumping right off of that.
Ooh, the inner world.
We got this a while back, and we were so busy, we didn't have a bunch of time to play it. I had a chance to sit down and play it. Tyler, you had played it back then. Mm-hmm. Let's briefly talk about what this game does, right? Because this was a game, I believe, on mobile. And it was on... I think it was mainly mobile. And it was played on iPad and stuff like that. Let us talk about Innerworld. What did they do right, Tyler?
Well, it's cute.
Art style.
Yeah.
I like... It feels very much like it's just like a living drawing.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. I can't really say much more.
I mean, it's the thing is
what did they do right?
You don't play point and clicks a lot. Right. You're not a huge fan of point and clicks.
You tell me what they did right, Mr. Point and Click Master.
So, well, the only reason I asked you is so people understand objectively. The art style is good.
The art style is great.
Hand drawn, very cool. It's weird. It's a very weird story. It's like the inner world. It's a world inside the world, and it's all like underground caves and stuff. There's their own utopia. Everyone's super weird.
The main character's super naive.
Yeah. It's a point and click. This one has a lot of item collection, a lot of using the items with characters. I would say, compared to a game like Thimbleweed Park, which is like the most pure representation of an old school point and click, I would say this one is a little bit more convoluted. It doesn't do the best job showing you where to go or what to do. But it's cute and it's cheap. If you like point and clicks, there's not a ton of them out there. If you liked, what did we cover the other month? Little Acre. If you like The Little Acre...
I was actually just thinking of The Little
Acre. It's going to be right up your alley. The Inner World, guys, try it out. It's a decent time. I have not completed it, so I'm not going to give it a hard score, but I'm going to say it floats around a 7 for me.
Let me do a complete 180 here and recommend to you fellers a game that I've been playing recently.
I'm done with The Inner World, so just go.
It is PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
Blech.
Yeah, talk about
Tyler,
that for me, because...
Tyler will just gloss over that one, because he hasn't played it.
I've heard a lot of people talking
about
it.
It's the new
this.
Hotness. Everybody's playing this game.
It's the new catness is more like it.
It is very Hunger Games.
Is this DayZ without the...
H1Z1.
Is it that kind of game, but without all the annoying stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Basically, PlayerUnknown was a famous modder who...
This is a guy who made
He
mods.
Took Arma, turned it into DayZ, essentially.
Yeah.
And now he made PlayerUnknown's Battleground. What it is it's just a hyper-distilled battle royale. You drop into an island with 100 players. The island's the same every time.
Yeah.
The loot is different every time. You drop in from a plane that flies in a very direct pattern across the island. You can parachute out at any time. You hit the ground, you find guns, and you try to kill each other.
It's literally Hunger Games.
The twist... is that there is an electric field that slowly shrinks the area of the island that is inhabitable.
So it's Hunger Games too.
Correct. So over time, approximately 15 minutes, your island that was open to you with about 1,000 kilometers of square space is now about 10. And then eventually it's like 1. And so slowly as people die, the game becomes more and more... harder to survive.
But there is no single player, it's very much multiplayer.
There is a single player, and in fact, right now...
Really?
No, I'm sorry. I meant you can play it solo.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, but you can also spot other people.
Is, correct. The biggest complaint right now is that as a single player, if you win the round, you get like 800 of the currency. With a duo, you get 400, and with a squad, you get 2.
Oh,
so that's like...
Just like 2? That's like nothing.
200. Oh. But
so, yeah, it's better
it's
to play
a huge, solo. Huge discrepancy
to win
right
solo.
Now. Like, people are very...
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess it depends on...
Yes and no.
Do the things that you get transfer from game to game? Or if you just pick... If I pick up a shotgun in game 1, will I have the shotgun in game 3 if I haven't tried yet? No.
As soon as you drop on the island, you have nothing but the clothes on your back, which are cosmetic, which you can purchase with the currency.
Okay.
They're literally... No advantage to having particular clothing other than, you know...
Camouflage.
What's the
point
of the currency?
Cosmetic items.
Great.
Skins and shit like that, probably.
Here's the great thing about this game. Just like Arma...
Pay to win.
Just like Arma, just like DayZ, it is incredibly realistic. Incredibly realistic. There are 80 different equations...
Unless you find the glitches.
No, there are 80 different equations that go into the bullet ballistics.
Oh, okay.
There is drop. There is zero sight.
It's really Arma shit.
It is hugely Arma shit, but that's what makes it great, is you're running across the field and you get shot. You don't have an indicator saying where you got shot from. You just know you got shot, so you have to look for the muzzle flash. You have to listen to where the person, you have to do the scan thing. I guess that's something high-level ARMA players do. You turn your head while the bullet is making the noise so you can localize where it's coming from. If you hear the bullet hit the ground before you hear the pop of the gun, you know that they are shooting you from a far distance because the bullet literally travels faster than the sound in-game. There is an insane amount of detail that goes into this game, and I think that's what makes it so good.
I mean, it sounds like a game that a lot of people enjoy, but you're going to have a really hardcore audience that's going to get really damn good at it, and those kind of people are those who might have played Battlefield or something, or something like ARMA, and they really want a truly pure experience.
I think you'll find that a lot in squad games, but I don't know about solo. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of really high-ranking solo players, but I think over time they'll probably develop a matchmaking system, hopefully.
Last game I have on my list is just something called Butcher. I want to talk about really quick. Cheap game, super small indie developer. It pays homage to Doom. Everything from the music to the screen wipe, how it kind of drips down like blood, all very Doom-like. You're on a derelict space station. You just go from world to world. There's about five worlds. Worlds are broken up into about five levels. It's 2D side-scrolling. Very small character. Your character's like 12 pixels. You jump with L, and you shoot with R. You change your weapons with the buttons, and that's about it. It's all about running, surviving, reflex, very fast-paced, brutal difficulty. The first thing you see is the name of the game that says the tagline is "The easiest mode is hard," which is a lie. There's a casual mode, but it's all about that. It's celebrating difficult, fast-paced action games with the very gibbing enemies, ultra violence, all that kind of stuff. Short game, you can be in probably 3 to 4 hours depending on how you find the difficulty. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's called Butcher. PS4, Xbox One. I played it on PlayStation 4. It's a grand time. If you like that kind of stuff, definitely pick it up. It's worth your money. Yeah, I played PlayStation VR. It was fun. My favorite thing was Job Simulator. I just want to bring that up. I'll play more of it as the weeks go on. And
Job Simulator is great.
If I find anything, Thumper was pretty good in VR as well. And this is me to everybody out there and to you guys as well. Believe the hype.
Yeah.
VR does make you feel like you're in it. There was a moment in Job Simulator where I was doing the work. We were in a cubicle, and I peeked my head down out of my cubicle to see who was going down the hall, because, you know, you feel like you're in there, and the cubicle had a wall, so I moved my head instinctually to miss the wall and hit my head on the wall in real life. But you constantly do that. Like, I went to lean my arm against something and realized it wasn't there. It's really, really cool how it plays on your senses. So I highly recommend. PSVR is a very, very good...
I can't wait to see when the technology becomes more affordable and more mass-produced. I think it'll be really great.
And there's that rumor that Microsoft is planning on bringing... not augmented reality, but like kind of AR mixed VR to Xbox One and Windows 10 in 2018. We'll see where that goes. We play a lot of mobile games. Let's just list these off real quick as recommendations. We can cover some ones later.
I played Battle Bay. Just came out from makers of Angry Birds.
Okay, cool, cool.
Basically playing as a boat, and you're on a team of five boats versus a team of five boats.
Nice.
Last man standing, or last team standing wins, or you could capture a point.
Very system intensive, but it is pretty
cool. It is. Works real well on my S8.
Is it a very free-to-play e-game?
Yeah, you can definitely sink a lot of money into it real quick to get far. I definitely have encountered someone who did that, where they had a boat that was four levels higher than mine, and which is, you know, level four.
Well, hey, it is what it is.
But it made a huge difference. Dude had, like, triple my health, and
shit.
The guns were super powerful. But, like, it doesn't happen all the time. Matchmaking is actually pretty good.
So it's a fun time.
It is a fun time. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Real good time killer.
Cat View, anything?
I'm still playing Clash Royale pretty regularly. I downloaded Voez. That was pretty sweet. Still playing the Steven Universe Attack of Light game, too.
Is that the one that you brought up that one time?
No, he did.
Really?
There's also a Steven Universe rhythm game.
Every time it's a rhythm game. Yeah, the rhythm game.
I brought it up, and it's a fine rhythm game. It just...
Attack of Light's really an RPG. Like the... Full-fledged RPG.
Okay, that's it's the one fantastic. That you just pay like $2
$3, for. Yeah, $3. Full RPG. Really interesting battle mechanics. You have to do rhythm-based attacks. So when you see a star pop up behind the enemy as they attack, you get an extra attack if you hit.
You have to, yeah.
You have like a slingshot-based thing where you have Pearl, who has a spear, and you can drag her spear back from her, and whichever direction opposite of where you drag it, it shoots in a line. There's a lot of cool stuff. Really, really good game.
And on my side, I've been playing a little bit of Adult Swim's Amateur Surgeon 4.
Nice.
Just got an update. It's always good fun. I always like to pop onto Jetpack Joyride. Kung
Punch
Fury.
Punch Quest.
Punch Quest, actually, I haven't played in quite a while.
I really like that game.
Kung Fury is fun. It's a based off a little Netflix thing you might see in the 30-minute joke. It's just essentially a mobile game where you're playing a kind of like an arcade beat-em-up, and you just hit, and it's kind of like a rhythm game a little bit. Interesting, short little game, free to play.
Don't check say that.
There's a
the second you say that, I want to play it.
You play it. You'll like it.
There's a what looks like a maybe like a Diablo clone that I saw in the game store this week. I didn't have time to play it, but the whole tagline is it's an RPG that focuses on classic elements rather than greed. So I think they're not a pay to play kind of game.
Nice.
It looks really cool. I don't think I have the system capacity to run it.
What's it called?
It is called Eternium.
Well, I think Tyler would probably play that.
It looks quite fun.
Tyler, you want to play that as long as it's free and then not, and then you just give us the...
Mage and Minions. All install. Right.
Beep. We will... Tyler will tell
downloads.
Us... Yeah, Tyler will tell us next time on that. Let's bounce off that. As we wrap up the show, guys, we do other
IRL
things.
Segment?
Yeah, IRL segment. So, beyond playing games in the virtual world, we like to entertain ourselves in the physical realm of media with books, audiobooks, movies, television. We all do all sorts of things. I'm just real quick. Here's the stuff that I've been watching. I checked out the first episode of Luther. It's got 4 seasons. Idris Elba, BBC. If you like crime shows, dark crime shows, psychological stuff, check it out. I've heard it was good for
a
long time.
Fantastic things about
it. Checked out
show.
Netflix. It is very good. Cool. Idris Elba carries that show. Working myself through Sherlock because my girlfriend Sabrina hasn't seen it yet. It's always good. Harry Potter Deathly Hallows, talked about that in Audible. Almost done with it, and we've almost finished up the last 2 movies.
Nice.
And finally, had to, of course, rewatch the original 1979 Alien film.
It's funny you bring that up. I watched it for the first time 2 weeks ago.
Still haven't seen it.
It is, here's the thing.
Fantastic.
Kevin can agree
really
with me.
Good movie.
It's much more suspense than his horror, isn't
it? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone
but it's
looks
a good
at...
piece of classic film.
Is that the one Bilbo's in?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's got John Hurt, who played Ollivander in Harry Potter.
Yep.
Sigourney Weaver.
Really, I mean, truly good for its time. Like, a really great piece of...
My favorite part about Alien, me and Matt Falvey had talked about this quite a bit on our movie podcast thingy. It's pure. There's not a lot of subplots there.
Yep.
It's very much about the team on the boat, not on the boat, on the cargo ship and just trying to get the alien off and everything. There's no, like, love stories.
Yep.
There's a small side section with Ash, and that's it. Like... Such a good movie. Probably going to watch Aliens. Did you guys see Guardians 2?
I need to watch that, too. Yeah. Yes.
Did we talk about that last time or no?
No.
Okay, real briefly. Because, I mean, Guardians is still new enough that I know people are seeing it, so let's avoid villain talk. But on the whole, did you guys like it? Did you dislike it? I thought it was kind of an imitation of the first, and they tried to make way too many jokes.
I thought the jokes... I would have ordered my jokes on the side if I ordered that at a restaurant.
Yep.
It was a little heavy, but...
It was a comedy before it was an action.
But I loved that they played more off of the other characters. It truly was a Guardians movie and not a Star-Lord movie.
I mean, I thought it was
the opposite, actually.
I thought it was a Guardians of Groot movie.
They did really lean on Groot a lot.
They lean on Groot.
Heavily. He's such a small little thing.
And then you have, like, a bunch of characters don't really end up doing anything. I mean, Yondu and Rocket get to do stuff, but then Drax is just kind of like, once or twice in a scene, and the Mantis does some stuff, but it's
she's weird.
I don't think it captured the charm.
No.
The thing is, I don't want to go back and watch it for a second time.
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't
want the soundtrack like I wanted the first one.
That's the thing.
The soundtrack was not as iconic.
Didn't fit.
Except for Brandy. Brandy is
well,
a fantastic song.
Brandy.
Here's the thing, and I said
that
it.
Movie is the song Brandy.
I said it on Twitter. I said Guardians 1 soundtrack was so good, not only because of the music, but because it tied that music to emotional set pieces, and Guardians did not utilize their soundtrack for anything more than background.
The singer of Brandy.
Yes.
Looking Glass. The lead singer of Looking Glass came out and said that this movie made his song have more meaning. Like, he actually said that. Like,
well, you know what? Maybe you can sell out a little bit harder, man. I don't
really know. What a good wife.
Right?
I'm excited to see how they expand the universe inevitably in Thor Ragnarok.
So how about you? What are you been checking out? I mean,
I've been checking out quite a few things, actually. Been watching Silicon Valley. I'm like halfway through season 2.
Nice.
I've been reading book 3 of The Demon Cycle by Patrick V. Brett.
How is that? The Warded series, right?
Mm-hmm. The Warded Man, yep. I'm enjoying good. It. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's got a very interesting magic system. It's got that really great feeling of humanity versus this huge evil that seems unbeatable. The character, it's one of those great novels that, like, not like capital G great novels, but one of those great, like, pulpy fantasy books where the main character is just OP as hell and just kicks the shit out of everybody.
One Punch Man.
Just very Jordan. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but he, not necessarily in a way that he's just good at everything. He's just really good at fighting these, like, nice. The antagonists.
I like.
And it makes it fun.
I like protagonists cool. that can beat shit up.
Yeah.
Like,
really and, good. But he's not a very social person, so he does have flaws. It makes it interesting. I like it. I've been enjoying it.
Which reminds me, we need to talk about sympathy.
The third book is kind of slowing down a little bit for me because it investigates the backstory of one of the main characters that you learned about before. But I feel like it's finally getting to a point where it's actually putting a lot of things into context for you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm on the cusp of like there's like 8 hours left in the book. I feel like I'm on the cusp of it really taking, like hitting its stride.
Hell yeah.
I really like it. I think you guys should read it.
Anything else that you've been watching or listening? Or
Handmaid's Tale. Started watching Handmaid's Tale with Rachel, and we just got done watching Victoria, which was really good.
How is The Handmaid's Tale?
So far, it is gripping, to say the least.
Did you read the book?
I did not.
Okay, because I don't... Some people who read the book are like, this is garbage! Some people who read the book are like, this is great!
I did not read the book, so I don't know how it's translating to film. I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of Victorian dramas, but Victoria was actually really, really, really good. Really
Victoria?
Good. You gotta get me on a period piece.
Dude.
Sarah hated it. Watch Mercy Street.
I mean, just period pieces in general. It's very hard to get.
I am so against period pieces. I just can't get into them. I'm not interested in them. But I was playing on my computer and Rachel would watch Victoria. Loved every second of it.
How about you, Tyler? Have you been checking out anything on the TVs?
Yeah, we just caught Sarah up with Game of Thrones, so we're ready for July.
Nice! Yes, cannot wait.
Good stuff.
We have moved on to catch up with Adventure Zone, and then we're going to move into beginning the Marvel Universe. That's right.
Ooh.
She has never seen...
A Marvel film?
A Marvel film. She's seen Iron Man, okay?
That's got a lot.
That's a good one to start with.
So she's seen Iron Man and Iron Fist. So every time they're like, the event, I'm like, you don't know what that is.
But anybody who's seen like four Marvel movies knows what it is. That's right. Crazy. You're just going to take her through everything.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I get to watch someone experience it all the way through. I'm really excited for it.
And you can watch to see how depressed she gets at like Iron Man 3 and Captain America 1.
I mean, we don't have to watch Iron Man 3.
That's but you should. Insane. You got to do them all. Anything else? Anything with top TV wise? Any YouTubes or
videos? I mean, I watch Critical Role and I'm caught up.
Critical Role is a good show.
I catch up every Friday, and episode 97 was excellent. Good in job, the guys. First 17 minutes, just great. Just great. If anyone watches Critical Role, you'll know what I mean about the first 17 minutes.
I remember that part.
He doesn't watch Critical Role. You're an asshole.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have, like, what was it, 300 some hours?
Critical Role, I mean, it's just like a podcast.
Almost that 400 now.
Beat. Yeah, I don't have 400 hours to...
I mean, unless you're into anime, it's, like 400 hours.
Or like One Piece?
I mean, yeah. It's not as long as One Piece yet.
My little brother watched all of One Piece.
Why?
Because he likes anime. I don't know. Dan, why?
Dan. Tell us.
Dan. All right. It's okay, Dan.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been watching all sorts of D&D shows. I like me some D&D shows.
As a closing remark, I would like to say, if you have not picked up Kendrick Lamar's new album, Damn, it is very good. If you like hip-hop music.
Damn.
Going to say that if you don't like hip-hop, like Matt said, you will not like this album.
But if you do, I do not. Tracks 2, 9, 10, 6, 13, all pretty good, and 4.
You could probably listen to the Parliament album and get a better time than that on those specific tracks.
Well, I mean, hey, different strokes, different folks, different yokes for different pokes. Guys.
I think you've made that joke every episode.
I know.
That could be the new tagline.
No, it's always, remember the original tagline? We won't say it on here because I think we have a bigger audience.
We're a little more family friendly than that. You didn't have to do that.
Guys,
I forgot it. I forgot it until he did that, though.
Oh, really?
That's right. He didn't need to do that.
So, it's been a time.
Confused?
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. I've been your host, Matt. With me, as always,
I am still, but I also have been your host, Kevin.
I was, will be, forever,
Tyler.
And if you guys want to reach out to us, there's a multitude of ways you can do that. First off, Twitters. The official show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64, and my personal one is at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at TeacherMalio, and you should probably fight Matt in Injustice 2.
Yeah, you won't.
I'm about to.
If you guys want, leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars is always the best. Tell everybody how good we are. It really helps out. And if you do leave a review, anything from 1 to 5 stars, or 0 stars, if that's a thing, our review robot, 2K12-3000, will read it out loud on the air. If you want to email me about anything specific, if you're an indie developer for some reason listening and I have not reached out to you and you want us to try your game, sgc64mail@gmail.com. Always check out our Facebook, and that's facebook.com/SGC, and then 64 spelled out. We have a Discord, if you guys are into that.
We do that?
We do.
I mean, we do have a Discord.
We do have a Discord.
When did that? Oh, right.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you were on it.
I forgot about
that. But it's technically it's an SGC64 Discord.
Yeah, well, let's spread it. Let's do it. We play games on, I mean, I'm on League, or PUBG, I'm on
every. If you guys want to play with us, come on, play with us. Once again, I want to thank Audible for supporting the show and sponsoring us. We might have a new sponsor or two coming up. We'll see. Also, once again, thank you to Psychotype for our ad roll music.
Dope music.
And thank you to everybody for listening.
The dopinest.
Kevin, do you have a game fact?
I do have a game fact. This is one that a lot of people know, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. So for the people that don't know it, I think it's going to really...
blow your mind.
It's really going to blow you
Bring us
away.
In. Bring us in. Tell us this game.
So, there's this really popular game that...
League of Legends.
How did you know it was World of Warcraft? It's World of Warcraft.
Oh, really? Is it World of Warcraft?
It is World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Back in the day, there was a debuff that you could receive from an enemy in a dungeon that would follow you out of the dungeon.
Yes.
It could then... infect other players.
Infect
other players.
You spread that dice.
Spread that.
Okay.
Okay. So people were leaving this dungeon to go to capital cities, to go to noob zones, to infect people with this curse that would literally just kill them. Over time. It was like the blood plague, I believe.
Yeah, the great pandemic.
Well, the funny thing is, it sounds like we're joking, but the disease actually followed real-world disease patterns.
Yeah.
And a lot of health organizations have used that scenario to study the spread of disease.
Well, the craziest thing about it, when you think about it, is you can simulate how a disease will spread, but when you put a disease in World of Warcraft, you get... the most accurate data, because even though they're avatars, these are real people and real patterns that
doing
people follow.
Dick moves.
Yeah.
And, like, there are people who are trying to heal other people. There were people who were trying to spread the disease.
The flow of traffic through large areas, different zones, like you said. It's very, very interesting. So, yeah, that was the...
pretty cool game fact.
Do you remember what the debuff was, exactly?
I want to say it was something with blood. I believe it was Blood Plague. Yeah, I mean, I know...
Jump off it, guys, because that, I mean, it's a good little tidbit, but reading the entire story and how it kind of really spread is, it's fascinating. Fascinating.
It is, it actually is very... it's one of those things where it just sounds so lame because it's World of Warcraft, but truly, it was called the Corrupted Blood Incident.
The Corrupted Blood Incident.
Yes.
All right, guys, this has been SGC64, episode 87. Grab your controller. Plug it in, your system.
You don't do that anymore.
Scoot that chair real close up. Burn those eyes and stick it to your mom. Dan, why?
Why One Piece, Dan?
It's not even that good.
One Piece is alright. But Dan, why?
What pirate?